Our first reading this morning is from Ephesians, the fifth chapter. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the ninth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus had made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Again, thank you all for coming. And what a great gospel lesson, so appropriate for the times we're facing, the healing of the man born blind. Let me reread a few of those verses. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'd like to especially begin by urging you to go back to these words noted by John as the narrator when he said, Jesus saw a man. I think a lot of people, myself included, if I had been in that same situation, it's possible I wouldn't even have seen that man off to the side. And if I did see him, it's quite possible I would have ignored him. And I might have said, that poor man, somebody should help him. The government should do something for him. None of us could do for him what Jesus was about to do. And what Jesus did showed him and showed us that he really is the Christ, the Messiah. There are two miracles that we'll talk about in a moment, but before we get to the miracles, let's look at that interesting discussion that Jesus had with his disciples. He gave them a lesson, and he gives us a great lesson as well. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he had been born blind? Now, to some of us, that might seem like an absurd question, but to those who see the world primarily through the Bible teaching of the law, That was a logical question, even though it was very difficult to answer. Because the teaching of the law is about our works, our rewards, and our punishments. The teaching of the law basically goes like this: disobey God and you will suffer. Obey God and you will be blessed. Here is the way Moses taught it in Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, to walk in his ways, that you may live, and that the Lord will bless you. But if your heart turns away, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your life. So the question made sense. Why was this man born blind? As a baby, as an unborn baby, he couldn't have committed any sin. But did his parents sin? That didn't seem right, because we know God doesn't punish the children for the sins of the fathers. When the Pharisees were brought in to discuss it, they quickly labeled him the sinner. They also labeled Jesus the sinner because he healed on the Sabbath day. You see, the teaching of the law in the Bible is about how we please God. But the problem here is that there's another teaching of the Bible that so often gets overlooked and that the devil constantly wants to bury, and that's the teaching of the gospel. And the gospel is all about God's good pleasure. Now, here's the thing. The Pharisees either deliberately forgot this teaching of Moses, or they overlooked it. Here is how Moses taught the gospel. It begins especially with the people of Israel going into the promised land. Notice that it's never called the reward land. Moses clearly told the people of Israel they did not earn it, they did not deserve it, they were not chosen to be God's people because of any righteousness in them. Moses said, you are going to have wells that you did not dig, and olive trees and vineyards that you did not plant. Or let's go to the Ten Commandments, probably one of the great examples of the law in the Bible. But right at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, Moses booms out with the gospel when he introduces the commandments with this word: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. They obviously did not do that themselves. That's the work of God. That is the gospel. David emphasizes the work of the gospel in Psalm 109. He cries out to the Lord for his poverty, his neediness, his weakness. He says that he is an object of scorn. But now, listen to this powerful gospel. Help me, O Lord, my God. Save me according to your mercy. That's the gospel. But now look how David emphasizes that it's not his work, but God's. That they may know that this is your hand, that you, O Lord, have done it. This is a beautiful teaching of the Bible, and it must never be overlooked. If we overlook that teaching, we'll run into many problems, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But now, let's look to this beautiful healing miracle of Jesus. Jesus says neither this man nor his parents sin. Sometimes sin and the consequences are directly connected. But at other times, our afflictions in this world happen simply because we live in a fallen world. It's especially at those times when we look to that greater teaching of the gospel. And so Jesus put mud on his eyes and he healed him of that blindness. Imagine what that was like for him. A man who had never seen anything in his life, and suddenly everything was changed. Not only could he see with his physical eyes, but also things were changing inside of his heart. No more were people discussing him about whether he sinned or whether his parents sinned. No questions about that anymore. No questions about how God felt about him. And that leads to the second miracle. Jesus wasn't done with him. Jesus went to him and he found him and he asked him if he believed in the Son of Man. Jesus revealed himself to be that Son of Man, and he simply said, "I believe." Beautiful words. You know, that's what the word creed means. I believe. When we don't have a creed in our life, we're aimless, we're confused, and we are left to only live by our own works. But the creed, if you look back at our Apostles' Creed, it's all about the works of God for us. And then secondly, notice the response of the blind man. It simply says, John simply says, he worshiped. That's what we do as Christians when we realize the healing that God gives us, both physically and spiritually. But let's go back over the effects of living only by the law, forgetting the gospel. We are by nature bound by the law. The law is not a bad thing at all. But when the gospel is forgotten, then we run into problems. We become complacent. We think that we're good enough for God. When we live by that law in that way, we often stop repenting, stop feeling any great need for forgiveness. When we live by the law, we'll tend to be more worried because deep down, we know that God does not have a low standard for good behavior. Be holy, Moses said, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. A third problem with this law-only kind of life is that we will tend to be mean people, blaming everyone else, excusing ourselves, looking down on other people because they haven't done as well as we have, and so on. But when we see that beautiful gospel and believe it like that man did, suddenly we have a creedal life, a life where we have in our hearts the wonderful works of God as we confess them, the Creator, the Savior, the Sanctifier. Secondly, with gospel in our hearts, we are also a worshipful people, a worshipful people. Not here because we have to be, but because we want to be. I think that's probably pretty obvious for all of you here this morning. I'm preaching to the choir. And then thirdly, with a gospel life, we will have less worry. I was in a store yesterday, walking down the aisle. A lady in front of me sneezed, a great big sneeze, and she didn't put her elbow up to her mouth or anything like that. A few days ago, I probably wouldn't have thought anything about that. But yesterday, I just sort of gently went down another aisle because I don't really know what's going on, and I'm not so sure of all the things that are happening. But deep down, I'm really not worried. In the April newsletter, which hopefully will get mailed this week, but it is available online, I have printed 37 Bible verses that have to do with sickness and healing. And I encourage you to look at those Bible verses. See how encouraging and comforting they are. Gospel promises of God's help and His healing in times of trouble. For example, Isaiah 41, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand." Let me conclude again by coming back to those words of John the narrator. Jesus saw a man. This pandemic is causing a lot of problems. It's going to have ramifications that affect us in many different ways. There will be all sorts of hardships. But as we remember the experience of the man born blind and see how Jesus saw him and how Jesus had compassion on him, we know we don't have to be afraid or worried. And we also can see the people around us who might need help. Pastor Adel's going to make an important announcement about our food pantry. A lot of people last night brought food for the food pantry. We will make that available for people that need help. We all can, by God's grace, as worshipful people, pray for ourselves, for our neighbors, for our country, for this world. And look around and see those who may need our help. And children, those of you who might be here or hear this message, your life has changed a lot as well. But there's still work for you to be done. Your online learning is going to be important. Getting along with brothers and sisters and your mother and father or whoever's watching over you. It's going to be an important time for all of us to look to God to help us to do our best in all of these things. In Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah urges us, or God himself urges us, look to me, all the ends of the earth, for salvation. I am the Lord, God, and there is no other. And this beautiful verse from Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling together, but to exhort one another. God bless us on this new journey that we have over the next few weeks, hopefully not too many months, before God brings an end to all of these difficult things in front of us. But we know they're here to test us, and we know that God is with us to bless us. In Jesus, amen.